Thank you so much, Ben. You know, probably every song that the band does has been done by many different people with different arranging and everything, but after I hear our band, your version's always my favorite. So thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. Very good. Well, as you have figured out by now, this month that we're in now, January, we're talking about faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And from Unity's Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore says, faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. Faith is spiritual assurance, the power to do the seemingly impossible. It is a magnetic power that draws unto us our heart's desire from the invisible spiritual substance. Faith is a deep inner knowing that that which is brought, who is sought, is already ours for the taking. So faith is no small topic. There's a lot involved here, and I'm glad we have a month to spend on it here together. Now, last week, in honoring Martin Luther King Jr. for his birthday, and to make the point, we looked at his life as an illustration of faith, even from our metaphysical point of view. That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the ability to shape substance. And we see that played out so powerfully in the life and the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So we started out there, but I want to move a little bit away from looking at others for today. But before we move away, let's look at some examples from the Bible about people of faith, people who had faith. And I think that's a good place to start. We find Noah. And by the way, in doing my research, I found one article that listed 41 people who were illustrative of a life in a person of faith. I'm not going to do all 41 of them. But there was Noah of the Ark fame, and Nehemiah, who went with the people to rebuild Jerusalem. There's Job and his experiences, Joseph in the multicolored coat and his brothers, and Ruth and Esther. Esther is one of Bev's favorite characters from the Old Testament. And Daniel, of course, in the lion's den. Elijah, who was taken up into the heavens. Paul, who was the missionary of early Christianity, and Peter, who after denying Jesus, came back to be one of his greatest followers and teachers. And then, of course, Jesus mentioned a couple of people in his work of people who were having great faith. One of the soldiers came to Jesus and said, "My servant is sick at home, and would you heal him?" And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll go and do it." And the soldier said, "No, you don't need to go anywhere. Just speak the word, and he'll be healed." And Jesus said, "Now, that's a great faith." And there was a woman who had a daughter who was ill, who didn't feel like Jesus needed to be there. And again, he healed her, and Jesus commented on her faith as well as being great faith. So we have a lot of examples, and a lot of big examples. I mean, you know, Noah undertaking the building of the ark, that was quite something that story tells us there. Now, one of the things that happens to us when we do things like this, when we take a topic like faith and look at examples of it, is that we see the great, big, huge examples of it. And though that may be inspiring, it may be motivating, but it is also intimidating. And what I've often heard people say is that, well, that person was special, more special than me, so their faith, you know, is big out there, so I can't relate to that. Or they say, this person was in a special circumstance that I'm not in. So, okay, that's inspiring, but that doesn't apply to me. And we really end up diminishing ourselves and reducing what we believe about ourselves by looking at these great, big, huge examples. So I'd like for you to consider with me this morning about faith wearing your clothes. We see what faith looks like in the lives of these biblical characters. We see what faith looks like in the lives of these historic people like Martin Luther King Jr. But what does faith look like wearing your clothes? What does faith look like in your life right where you are? Whether you think you're special or not, whether you think your circumstances are different or not, what is faith to you in your life as you live it every day? Now, we can use some of those examples that I've already mentioned of people living out faith as points of reference. And by the way, that's the class I'll be teaching the first two Tuesday nights in February, points of reference. We use those very often and they're very helpful, but one thing we often do is we make a point of reference, a point of identity. Like looking at these examples of faith out in the world, if that's the way we think we're supposed to look, that's not helpful for us. But if we can use it as a point of reference of saying this is how somebody else experienced it in their life, and I can see the principle involved, then it is helpful as a point of reference. So we'll talk more about that in the class. But if you use these examples of other people's lives as points of reference, as moments of inspiration and motivation, that works much better for you. Now I want to look at three examples of faith wearing your clothes. What does faith look like when it's in your life being lived by you? Now, first of all, with our thoughts, faith comes into play with what we think. Remember, faith is that perceiving power of the mind, that sensing ability of the mind to sense the presence and the direction and the guidance of Spirit in our life. Now, as we are thinking, we need faith to guide us along the way. And one of the ways that faith wearing your clothes works regarding your thoughts is that sometimes it narrows your thoughts. Now, there are all kinds of possibilities of things that we can think. There are all kinds of possibilities of theology and all kinds of possibilities of philosophy and psychology and sociology and everything else. Immense possibilities. And sometimes faith wearing your clothes, your sensing ability to sense where Spirit is guiding and where Spirit is present means that you shrink your view, your perspective. You shrink the number of things that you think about. When I sit down to prepare a sermon, I mean, the immensity of the material that is there, and especially with the computer now, you can Google something. I can't remember what the topic was, but a while back I Googled a word that was the topic for the sermon and got 1.4 billion hits on it. In like 30 seconds, or no, it was like 10 seconds. And I'm not gonna sit down and look at a billion references here. So the possibilities are immense, and at some point we have to limit those things. So with faith wearing our clothes and faith, our faith, our own faith, our own sensing of Spirit's presence and guidance, there are times when we shrink the body of our thought. We diminish the things that we're thinking about so that we can focus more clearly. And again, faith guides us in that. Spirit guides us in what is ours to embrace there and what it is ours to limit. And there's also times when faith, on the other hand, calls us to expand our thinking. We can get to the place where our thinking is too narrow. We're not embracing enough. We're not allowing enough to be considered. And faith moves us ahead to expand that and make it bigger. So faith wearing your clothes can work in your thinking by shrinking the things that you think about or expanding the number of things that you think about. That is your faith working in you. Now, what somebody else thinks may be a great point of reference for you, but ultimately what faith is wearing, when faith is wearing your clothes, is the guidance for you. And where you see Spirit guiding you and directing you is just for you and nobody else. And wherever it shakes out for you, wherever you limit your thoughts, wherever you expand your thoughts, those are your thoughts. And they're just as valid as some great hero of history. It's important for us to remember that. Another area where we find faith wearing our clothes is in our feelings. Now, there's this interesting situation in our lives where we have to balance things. Like passion and compassion need to be balanced in our lives. When I'm doing counseling with someone, I'm rarely very, very directive. That is, telling people what to do. There have been some situations where people were connected with something illegal or something very dangerous, and I've said, "Get out now." I remember telling a young lady who was in an incredibly abusive relationship. She told me the story, and I said, "Get out now. This man is going to kill you." She didn't get out, and he tried to kill her, but he didn't succeed, thank goodness. That was one occasion where I was very, very directive, but that's relatively rare for me to do. And in our lives, sometimes it's important for us to be passionate about what we're doing, to act, to feel confident, to feel strong, to feel assertive, and even times where aggression is appropriate for the situation. Only your faith wearing your clothes can tell you when that is present. You can't really judge that by what somebody else did in another situation. What's happening in your situation? What is faith guiding you to do in your situation of being passionate about something or being compassionate? Compassionate means to feel with. So I sit with someone and I listen and I commiserate and I share the sympathy, the empathy for them and with them. And that is appropriate in the time. And so it is for you. There are situations where the appropriate thing to do, the thing that your faith, wearing your clothes, is guiding you to do, is to feel that compassion for others rather than the passion. Now, this brings us to another area that's important to know how our faith is operating, and that is how we act, the things that we do. Because there are times when, as you sense the presence and the guidance of Spirit in you, faith wearing your clothes, it is time to do something. It is time to act. It's time to make something happen. Get up and get moving. Make this happen. Do what needs to be done. And it's important to be guided when that happens. And there are times when that is completely appropriate. But there are also times when it's appropriate not to act. A lot of times we associate not acting with cowardice, or not acting as being undecided or noncommittal or whatever. But there are times when it is perfectly appropriate to not act, to not do anything. If that's where faith is pointing you, that is what you are to do. I use this phrase a lot, and I hear people who've been in my classes mention it too. And that is knowing what is mine to do. I mean, there's so many good things to do in this world, but you have to know what is yours to do. Bev and I were talking last night, we were watching TV recently, and there were a series of advertisements asking for money. There was one what's the pet organization? That one. And there was one for children who are hungry in Africa, and I don't know what the others were, but you stop and think about it. If you supported all these things, you'd have nothing left. And no time left either. So you have to be able to know what is mine to do. And how do you know that? It's by the faith that is in you. This sensing ability to know in what direction Spirit is pointing. This sensing ability to know what is mine to do here and now. And nobody can tell you that. Someone might advise you. Someone might give you some observation. Someone might listen to you, but nobody can say, this is yours to do. That can only come from the knowledge that is within you. It can only come from faith wearing your clothes. Your perceiving power, your discerning power, your sense of Spirit's presence and Spirit's guidance saying, this is yours to do, or this is not yours to do. All of you have probably experienced it sometimes, somebody pressuring you to do something, pressuring you to make a decision, pressuring you to act in a certain way. But if you know without question in your heart that this is not yours to do, then it is not yours to do, no matter what anybody else says. And the key to that guidance is our faith, that which operates within us. Now, there are many other circumstances, situations that we could come up with as an illustration, and you can do that for yourself. You know, what are situations where it is important to be aware of faith wearing your clothes? Being aware of which way Spirit is pointing you. Yes, consider all of the points of reference. Consider the examples of all the historic figures, all the great people of faith, and be inspired and be motivated. But ultimately, what it comes down to is your decision. It is your faith wearing your clothes. And ultimately, you are the one looking in the mirror when everybody else is gone. When it's you going to sleep at night all by yourself, your eyes closed, your faith is what's really important there. Now, I invite you to consider those other possibilities. I could go on and on and on giving you examples, but you can do that for yourself, knowing where faith is operating in your life and where it needs to operate even more. But this experience of living out faith wearing your clothes begins very simply. It has to have a beginning. Now, this past week, we had history made in a number of different ways when we had the national inauguration of our new officials that had been elected. Kamala Harris, the first woman of color, the first woman to be in the vice presidency. that began in a particular way. The new senators from Georgia, the first Jewish person, the first black person from Georgia to serve in the Senate, history making. And all the other officials that were elected were sworn into their offices, and that began by them saying, yes. Essentially, the inauguration was, will you serve with integrity in this office that you've been elected to? And the response is, yes. That's where it begins. Without that, it wouldn't happen. If they didn't answer, or if any of them said no, then it wouldn't go nowhere else. And so is it with our faith. We need to say yes to our faith. We need to say yes to our ability, to that discernment that is within us to know Spirit's presence and Spirit's direction. That begins by saying yes. Because let me, I often say this to people, that when you say yes to Spirit, you better have buckled your seatbelt, because things tend to happen then. So give it thought. Don't do it casually. When you say yes to the faith, and when you say, I believe, I embrace, that I have this discerning ability to know Spirit's presence and to know Spirit's guidance, and I say yes to where I'm being guided, and then take a deep breath and hang on, because things start happening then. So it's important that we are able to say yes to all of these things. When we hear faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, can we say yes to that? When we see faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance, can we say yes to that? Can we say yes to faith, to what is true? And that's the other class I'll be teaching in March, is what is truth? What is truth? It's important that we're able to say yes to truth. It's important that we know what it is before we say yes to it. So during this coming week, as you are about your lives, whatever they are now, dealing with the pandemic and everything else, look around for faith being active in others, certainly, and use that as a point of reference. But be particularly sensitive to the action of faith within you. Be particularly sensitive to faith wearing your clothes, to those situations that call for your action of faith, those situations that call for your thoughts to be guided by faith, your feelings guided by faith, your doing guided by faith. And let that come to your mind very often as you go about your day doing what you do, because it is faith that guides us and takes us on from this place. So in closing, I would say to you, say yes. Say yes to faith in principle. Say yes to faith wearing your clothes. And say yes to those situations that arise that give you clear direction about whether to narrow or expand, whether to act in passion or compassion, or whether to act or not act at all. That's all up for you to decide for yourself. Because faith is wearing your clothes. God bless you.
And now comes the time when we ask you to consider, what is your faith about giving in general? Can you open up your heart? Can you open up your mind to giving comfort, to giving smiles? Many ways for us to give. When it comes to spiritual study, can you open up your mind and your heart and your pocketbook to placing a value on a spiritual experience, on a spiritual growth plan through classes and community? How important is a spiritual community in your life? You know, this year we haven't run a prosperity program, but often when we teach prosperity, we have the idea of figuring out your budget. What does it take for you to live every month when you consider utilities and transportation and housing and food? Is your spiritual study included there? Is your giving to a church included there? So we ask you, even though we call it love offering, we ask you to consider Unity of Pompano as part of your budget. It's there. Send in your donation. And at the end of next week, you should, those of you who have been giving faithfully, will receive a letter that will show you what you gave this year. We are very, very thankful for all of your giving. It has sustained us through this pandemic time. So let us bless all of your giving, and let us bless life in general, because we know that there's much more to life than income, isn't there? All of our relationships and our health, and all of it rolls into prosperity. So our offering blessing. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack and allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. And ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it, and it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.